Shabbat Tov, Rabotai. We are studying the Sefer Tehillim of David HaMelech Alav Shalom. Tonight we are in the middle of a chapter, actually chapter Mem Tet 49. And we are holding by Pasuk Yud Dalid. Just as a quick summary. This chapter, as we learned previously, is a chapter that was written by the children of Korach. That's why it begins, Amnaseyach Ibn Korach Mizmor. When they saw the negative effects that money can have on a person, specifically their father, that was a very wealthy man, but his wealth went to his head, enough to wage a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, and he ended up being swallowed under the ground, him and all his cohorts. So therefore, the children of Korach write a whole mizmor on the evils of pursuing wealth and the importance of remembering one's mission, that his goal is for his eternal resting place. That is why that this chapter actually is read in the house of mourning, because that's a good time when people are focused and they realize their immortality, they're in the face of death. So therefore, they can understand this message. the Pesukim, till this point, talked about the misguided priorities that the rich man has, and even the poor man, that he lusts for money that he doesn't have, but he's consumed all day long, imagining what he's going to do with the money that he eventually wins or gets. So Pasuk Yedalet begins, Zeh darkam kese lamo, v'achareihem b'fihem yirtzu sela. Zeh darkam, this is their way. Whose way? Kese lamo, the way of the fools. We're talking about the wicked over here. The wicked, they do not sin by chance. That's a derech that they created for themselves. That's their path, which means they have a shita, they have a certain mode of life, that this is our way, as we hear many times people say. Therefore, the pasuk says zed darkam. This is their derech. This is a path that they paved for themselves. Keselamo, folly. Keselamo is theirs, which means folliness or foolishness accompanies them in everything that they do, since they are devoid from Torah. So therefore, every act that they involve themselves in is filled with kesel. Ve'achareihem, and their destiny, b'fihem yirtzu sela, with their mouths they speak soothing, which means the Gemara Shabbat Daf Lamed Aleph says that these people over here, they're so embedded in their ways that they truly insist that their end, ve'achareihem, yirtzu, is going to be accepted. Which means they don't even understand that they're on the wrong road. They think that this derech that they chose for themselves of going after money and going after pleasures, they say, what's the matter? Do you believe in Olam Abba? We believe in Olam Abba. What do you think Olam Abba is going to be? Ve'achareihem, and their destiny, b'fihim, in their mouths, yirtzu. Yirtzu means they speak soothingly, which means they don't even fear that they're going to be punished in Olam Abba. Others explain, the Me'iri, he says that these people, even at the end of their life, when they're on their deathbed, and you tell them to make teshuvah, they come along and they give a lip service as if they're repenting. But when you tell them to return all the money that they stole and all the illegal gains that they had, they're not willing to go that far. V'achareihem, their end, b'fihem yirtzu. Yeah, lip service. In their mouth, they come along and say, hatati aviti pashati. But when they ask them to make reparations, they're not interested to return from the people that they cheated and that they robbed. And therefore, their soul remains bereft from eternity. The Mefarshim come along and remind us over here that this chapter, this pasuk specifically, was referring to Korach. The Gemara tells a story in Sanhedrin of a certain rabbi, Rabba Bar Bar Hanna, that was walking in the desert and he saw a certain Bedouin. And the Bedouin said, come, I'm going to show you something. And he shows him a crater that's in the ground, and there's smoke that's bellowing out of it. So the rabbi said, what is this? He says, put your ear to the ground. And all of a sudden he hears voices coming from underground. Moshe emet, v'torato emet, v'anachnu baddaim. Moshe is emet, and the Torah is emet, and we're a bunch of fools, we're a bunch of liars. So Moshe, the rabbi said, who's this? He said, this is Korach. And every month, or every day, Korach is making this proclamation that Moshe is emet, and the Torah is emet, and he's a liar. And not only that, but every month they come and they roast Korach like a piece of meat on the skillet or a piece of meat in a pot, where they just flip him over, and that's why it smokes and you have this whole situation. So the Mefarshim come along and say, Ve'acharehem. You know what the end of Korach was? Bifihem yirtzu. With their mouths, they're going to pay lip service and they're going to confess their guilt. For how long? Sela. For eternity. But it's too little too late, as they say. Korach, with his big avon of fighting against the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, now already it's too late for you to come along and say Moshe Emet. That's teshuvah you can't make in the next world. Teshuvah you can only make in this world. That's why it says, Ubnei Korach lo metu. The children of Korach, they bailed at the last minute. When they saw that everything was turning down on them, in the pit of doom, they made teshuvah and God sent a ledge out of the side of the pit. They were able to climb up on it and escape. But Korach, even at the time of death, when he was falling into the pit, he could have said Moshe emet, v'torato emet, and would have stopped. But he didn't repent. And therefore what happens? V'achareihem, their end, b'fihem yirtzu. They're going to confess with their mouths, Sela, for eternity. Pasuk Tedvav. Kason lish'ol shatu. Mavit yir'em. Vayirdu bam yesharim laboker vetzuram lebalot sheol mizebul lo. A lot of concepts in this pasuk over here. Let's go one at a time. Let's talk about the Rishaim again. Katzon lishol shatu. Like sheep, they are destined to the lower world. Well, they're appointed to the lower world. The lower world obviously is Gehinam. That just like animals that give no thought to their end, animal is senseless. They don't have any idea of what their fate is. So it says the Rishaim, they go to this world like animals. Katzon, like sheep that are senseless. And where are they being led to? Lish'ol shatu, to the She'ol. What is the She'ol? She'ol is the Gehinnam, is the bottomless pit. Mavet yir'em. They are consumed by death. Mavet yir'em. They are consumed by death. This is referring to what the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, that an animal dies once. After it dies, it's finished. The Rishaim that commit certain sins, they are destined to death every single day. Like the Gemara says in Gittin, that the Rasha Titos that destroyed the temple, before he died, he wanted to escape from divine retribution. So he asked his heirs to take his body and cremate him, and spread his ashes over the seven seas, so God would not find him. But the Gemara says, not only does God find him, but God puts them back together every day and burns them again to a crisp. And then puts them back together and burns them again. And of course that's a tremendous tsa'ar for the body, for the guf, for the neshama. And therefore that's the Rishaim. They have a constant death. That's what it says. Mavet yir'em. They are consumed by death on a daily basis. Vayirdu bam yesharim laboker, and the upright shall dominate them at daybreak. What does that mean? What is that daybreak? That daybreak is referring to Tehayat HaMetim. On the day of the resurrection of the dead, only the righteous are resurrected. And it is on that day that the upright will dominate the wicked. Until that point, in Olam HaZeh, the wicked are dominating the tzaddikim. Whether it's the irreligious, or whether it's the government, or whether it's Stam, the people in power that persecute the religious people, that go against the people that are Shomrei Torah and Mitzvot. However, the time comes where the Shomrei Torah Mitzvot and the observant Jew eventually triumphs all his enemies. And when is that? In the time of Boker. In the time of Tehayat HaMetim, when he's resurrected and they are not. But again, we always have to put this mizmor in the context of the children of Korach. Do you remember in the confrontation, what did Moshe Rabbeinu tell the children of Korach? Boker v'yoda Adonai et asher lo. Tomorrow morning, you will know who the chosen one is. And sure enough, the next morning, Korach stood on one side and Moshe and Aaron on the other. And sure enough, on that morning, it was evident that Moshe was the chosen one. And that's what the pasuk says, Vayirdu bam yesharim. When did the upright Moshe and Aaron dominate the wicked? Laboker. They did it in the morning. And that was a courtesy that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Korach to sleep on it. He gave him a courtesy. Listen, don't jump to conclusions. Don't make a decision in haste. Come tomorrow morning hoping that Korach will sleep on it. Come the next morning. Listen, Moshe Rabbeinu, I thought about it. Bad idea. Moshe emir turato emit. Instead, he woke up the next morning just as invigorated as he was the day before, and just as committed, and therefore, in that morning, he was dominated. V'tsuram debalot, literally tsuram, their form or their image, lebalot sheol. It will erode even the lower world. This is what the Gemara says: Gehinam kale vehem enam kalim. That there's certain desha'im that actually outlive Gehinam. Which means after a certain point in the history of the world, even Gehinam burns out. The worst rasha normally has a 12-month sentence. But there's certain desha'im that the Gehinam is an eternal situation, and even after Gehinam is finished, they are still lost. There's nowhere for them to go. The Gemara lists those people that are heretics, apostates, those that deny the Torah, that have no faith in the resurrection of the dead, mesit, mediach, those that sway people away from God to other religions, karkafta de lo manach tefillin, a person that does not wear tefillin as well, chas v'shalom is in that group, geinam kalev v'hinam, hem enam kalim, poshei yisrael begufan, as the Gemara calls them. And therefore, the pasuk says, v'tsuram lebalot she'ol, they themselves wear out the Sheol. I mean, Sheol is gone and they're still going. They're still suffering. Mizevul lo. Mizevul lo over here refers to one of the higher worlds next to this Kisei HaKavod that's called Zevul. There are seven heavens. One of the heavens is called Zevul. So because of their sins, they deny themselves from Zevul. Mizevul lo. From Zevul being theirs. Because of their wickedness, they do not benefit from that madrega. There is a saying in Masechet Derech Eretz that tells us, Harotzeh shelo yamut. Yamut, or yamit et atzmo, ad shelo yamut. A cryptic saying. If a person does not want to die, he should die before he dies. What does the Hakamim mean over here? If a person wants not to die, meaning he wants to live eternally, he should kill himself, which means he should live a life of physical deprivation. He should live a life of mita gufani, which means limit himself from his materialistic and physical intake, actually before he dies. Which means if a person dies in this world, dying mean over here, physically he's removed, And therefore he tends to his neshama. Harotzis shelo yamut be'olam abba. First one wants to live eternally. Yamut, kodim shiyamut. Let him die before he dies. We should let him live in this world. Mibhinat mita. And then he'll have an afterlife in the next world. Now the author of the Tehillim turns to himself. After he's talking about the Rishayim, he says, Ach Elohim yivden nafshi miyad she'on. But God is going to literally redeem my soul from the grip of the lower world, which means he's referring to his own soul with words of encouragement, which means I didn't go after the comforts of this world, and I'm not going to go after the enticements of this world, and therefore God is going to save me from the she'on. Ki yikaheni sela. When he takes me, when the end of the end of life is, it's going to be, he's going to take me for eternity and to have the share of the tzaddikim. Al tira ki yashir ish ki yirbe kevod beto. Ki lo bemoto yikah hakol, lo yered aharav kevodo. Pasuk 17 and 18. Let's read them simply and then give the derashot that are necessary. The author of the Tehillim is talking to human beings. Al tira ki ya'ashir ish. Don't be fearful when a person grows rich. Ki yirbe kevod beto. When you see his splendor and the honor of his house increases. A person might have questions on God. Rasha betovlo. A person is wicked and all of a sudden he's prospering. And he starts to have questions. Maybe there's no justice. Maybe there's no deen. Maybe there's no reason to be observant. Maybe there's no reason to follow the Torah. Because after all, this person over here doesn't follow the Torah. Look at he has all riches. He has all wealth. So the author says, Al tiraki yashir ish. Don't be fearful if you see a person has wealth. Ki yirbe kevod beto. That's really an answer. Because you know why? All he's doing is he's adding glory to his house on earth. All that glory that he has does nothing for his eternity. He's only involved in beto. He's only involved in enhancing his physical structure. And therefore does nothing for his eternal abode. And therefore, al tira, don't be scared, don't be fearful of a situation. And secondly, ki lo bemoto yikah hakol. He's not taking anything with him. In this sense, the word hakol doesn't mean everything. In this context, hakol means anything. Ki lo bemoto yikah hakol. He's not taking anything with him. Lo yered acharav kevodo. His glory is not going to be taken with him. On the contrary. The Gemara says that the next world is called a olam hafuch. It's called a topsy-turvy world. Elyonim lemata, v'tachtonim lema'ala. Those that were high on top in this world, in the next world they're low. And those that were low in this world, next world, they sit at the dais, they're on the top. And therefore, don't think that just because a person's enjoying a lot of glory in this world, on the contrary, God's cashing him out. God's giving all his reward in this world in order to clean him out so he doesn't have to give him anything in the next world. It's in order to finish with him so he doesn't have to deal with him and give him any sakhar le'olam abba. And furthermore, a person shouldn't be afraid when somebody has wealth because in many times wealth is not a blessing. Many times wealth does not bring long life. On the contrary, merbe nechasim, merbe de'aga, that those that have much wealth sometimes are plagued with much worry and much problems. And therefore, the author of the Tehillim is telling the person, the poor man, al tiraki yashirish. Don't be afraid when you see somebody has a lot of money. That's not necessarily a blessing. But there's an exception to the rule. There's one person that was a very wealthy man, and he took it with him. And who was that? Korach. Korach's the exception. He was buried, and all his assets went down with him into that crater. All his assets means everything that belonged to Korach. It says even a document that had Korach's name in it, the document fell into the sinkhole. A pin that Mrs. Korach lent out to somebody else, it came miraculously into the hole. Any monies, any assets, any property of Korach, all ended underneath the ground. There was no remnant of anything that belonged to Korach. But the explanation is, fine, he took it with him. But what could he do with it? He wasn't able to do anything with it. All his money under the ground served him no purpose. God did that to punish Korach so there'll be no remembrance of Korach in this world. So nobody can even say, this belonged to Korach. Oh, that was Korach. Nothing. There's zero zikaron at all. But what? Even the one that took it with him, what did he do with it? And therefore, even the exception is not an exception. There's a story told by the Hachamim, Gemara in Ketubot. It says one time the Hachamim were walking and they saw a girl, and she was in the garbage, rummaging in the garbages, trying to find pieces of maybe barley that might have been mixed up in the, or forgive me, in the dung of the animals. Destitute girl. So the rabbis came to her and said, who are you? So she says she's the daughter of Nechdimon Ben Gurion. Nechdimon Ben Gurion? Is it possible Nechdimon Ben Gurion was one of the wealthiest men, Atire Yerushalayim, was one of the wealthiest men of Yerushalayim? So she says, yes, I am the daughter. But they said, we remember your father gave you a ketubah, 1,000,000 dinar dowry. 1,000,000 gold dinars, what happened? So she said, my father did not give enough charity. He did not give enough of the tzedakah. What do you mean, didn't give enough tzedakah? He gave tremendous amount. She said, no, he didn't give it with the right kavanah. When he gave the charity, he gave it for kavod. He gave it for his honor. He didn't give it for the proper reasons. He did it in order to make a name for himself. And therefore the rabbis, the pasuk of the Tehillim is coming, Al tira ki ya'ashir ish. Don't be worried when you have a wealthy man that's giving tzedakah. Ki yirbe kevod beto. Because if he's giving it Leharbot kevod beto, he's giving it like Nechdimon Ben Gurion, in order that people should talk about him and give him respect. Ki lo bemoto yikach hakol lo yered acharav kevodo. That money that he gave is not going to serve him well. Like you see, the daughter of Nechdimon Ben Gurion became destitute. In the end, she suffered. She had no kevod. So therefore, you see in the Inyan of it that when one gives charity, he has to give it for the right reasons. Many times a person wants to donate money in front of the people so they can see him. He's a rich man. He donated this, donated that. Everybody's saying numbers. A lot of times the people that say a lot of numbers, they don't pay those numbers anyway. So stam is just fluff. But even if they're paying it, what are you doing it? The best way to give the tzedakot is really b'tzina'ah. Is to give it under the radar that nobody should know and give it the Shem Shamayim. But there's another derashah to be said over here. There is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. The Mishnah Pirkei Avot says, "Kol mechabed et haTorah, gufo mechubad al haBeriyot." This Mishnah needs to be explained. Whoever respects Torah, whoever respects Hachamim, whoever respects people that learn, kol mechabed et haTorah, gufo mechubad al haBeriyot. His guf is respected, is honored by the people. The question of this Mishnah is, what do you mean gufo? His body. Just say, who mechubad ala b'riyot? He is, what do you mean his body? His guf. A person is made up of two parts, guf and neshama. Why only gufo mechubad ala b'riyot? So I saw an interpretation like this. A rich man has a lot of friends. Ohave Ashir Arbe. Why do they love the rich man? Because they think that maybe some of his money is going to fall into their pockets. They think by befriending him, by being close to him, somehow they're going to make some money. Everybody wants to be related to the rich man. Oh, that's my cousin, that's my uncle, yeah, he's my... He has a lot of relatives, the rich man. But that's only for ulterior motives. They don't really like him. They can't stand him. He's arrogant, he's long-winded, he's boasty. But what? They want to be close to him. And how do you know it? Because when he dies, and now all is left is his goof. Now he's not, he doesn't have a neshama anymore. He's not alive. Nobody cares about him. He can't get anything from him anymore. Now he's dead, there's no benefit. And therefore, after he's dead, nobody has anything nice to say about him. Nobody goes to the funeral. Nobody, hey, what happened? What am I going to gain from a dead body? So the rich man, en gufo mechubad. But somebody that respects Torah, somebody that respects Hachamim, even after he passes away, and all he is a goof. Gufo mechubad al beriyot. The people will come to give him honor. The people will come to give him respect. Not only when he's alive do the people respect him, but since that person is a genuine person, even gufo mechubad al beriyot, even when there's nothing to gain from that person anymore, he's a corpse, he's a goof. The people still have nice things to say about him. The people still want to be close to him. And that's what the Pasuk is saying over here. Al tira ki ya ashir ish. Don't be concerned when you see a person become very rich. Ki yirbe kevod beto. His family gives him a lot of kevod. Ki yirbe kevod beto is everybody wants to be related to him. Everybody wants to give him honor. Ki lo bemoto yikach hakol. Because when he dies, lo yered aharav kivudo. You see, nobody respects him. So you see, it was all fake. It was all a charade. It was all not because he was a good person. It's because they want to be connected to people that have fame, people that have prestige, so called. They want to take a picture with him. They want to be caught with him and go out, socialize. But what happens when he's dead? They forget him right away. Lo yered aharav. That kivudo does not follow him. The kavod only follows those people that were genuine in this world. The kavod follows him all the way, even when he's a goof. There's nothing left of him. Gufo mechubad ala beriyot. But there might be another interpretation to this pesis pesukim. Al tira ki ashir ish ki irbe kavod beto ki lo bemoto yikach hakol lo yered aharav kavodo. I saw the interpretation as follows. There was a story of a fellow that went to Shi'ur. He goes to the Shi'ur of the rabbi, and the rabbi tells the students, it's a mitzvah to give ma'asir. Asir b'shvil shetitashir. The person gives his ma'asir, it's 10%. It's the road to become wealthy. And he gave him all different examples and mishalim. The word for charity is tzedakah. Tzaddi, dalid, kof, he. The first letter is tzaddi. Tzaddi is 90. The third letter is kof. That's 100. That's ma'asir. A person has 100. He keeps 90. He gives 10 to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But then there's a higher level. A person gives 20%. The second letter of tzedakah is dalid. The last letter is he. That's already 1/5. That's already 20%. So in the word tzedakah itself, it's giving us the two levels. The 10% people, 20% people. But what? Both of them, they become wealthy. Asir b'shvir shetet asher. So the guy, the tamim guy, went to the class. The rabbi says, give ma'asir. He started giving ma'asir. The guy became rich, very, very wealthy. Another guy goes to the shiur. Also, he's a poor guy. That week, the rabbi was talking about shalom bayit. He was talking about the mitzvah to respect and honor your wives. So he told them, there's a segula. Anybody that respects their wife, segula la'osher. Where did he get it from? The pasuk says, ul avram hetiv ba'avura. God was generous to Avraham because of Sarah. So you see that the wife is really the source of the panasa in the house. And therefore, when a husband respects the wife, so the beracha comes through the wife. Amar Rava libnei Mechoza. Rava told the people of Mechoza, Okiru neshaichu, ki hechi ditataru. Respect your wives in order that you should become wealthy. So you see the Zenyan, the Arizal writes, for example, on Lil Shabbat, when you're making the hamotzi, kezeta uchbe'ata. You're supposed to break a kezayit for yourself and a kabetza for your wife. Double. Why? Because the ikar parnasa comes from the lady, therefore you give her the ikar, you give her the double portion. So the rabbi was giving a whole derasha on this over here. One time we said at him is, in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, it says in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, the Simanim. One of the Simanim is Shulchan Orech. Who's the Shulchan? Shulchan is at him is to the lady. The lady, that's the lady that makes the table. She's involved in the daily routine of the house. And the Gemara says, Amar bi Meir, miyamai lo karati li ishti ela beti. He would always refer to his wife, beti, the house. Shulchan is the lady. Shulchan, when it comes to the wife, orech. Orech means you have to be ma'arichit. You have to give it value. You have to give it its proper importance. You have to give it the proper, and what? Because of that you'll have beracha. So he says, you know what? Let me follow the rabbi's advice. He went home. He started doing all this shalom bayit stuff. He became wealthy. So his neighbor, the guy that's giving the ma'asir, he sees him. He says, hey, listen, you made a lot of money very quickly. What's your secret? He says, what do I know? I went to the rabbi Shi'ur. The rabbi told me, shalom bayit. That's it. Beracha came. The guy got all upset. He went to the rabbi. He said, I don't stand you. He said, what do you mean you don't stand me? You also became wealthy. He says, yeah, but you didn't give me this other guy's method. He said, what's the difference? He said, listen, this guy over here, he became wealthy by shalom bayit, but all his wealth is by him. Well, it means, what did he do? He took his money, he bought his wife, China. Who owns the China? He owns it. He still has it. He bought his wife a diamond ring. Bottom line, it's his asset. He still has the diamond ring. His wife, if 120, he can give it to the daughter. He bought his wife a mink coat. Whose mink coat is it? It's his. So this is a great method. You could spend money, but the money stays by you. He's spending on your wife. Me? Where's my money? I gave it to Porat Yosef, I gave it to this yeshiva, I gave it to that yeshiva. It's gone. I wish you would have given me the method of the shalom bayit. At least I can keep the money by me. So the rabbi said, on you, David HaMelech talked about. Al tira ki ya'ashir ish. Don't be afraid, don't be nervous when you see a person becomes wealthy. Why? Ki yirbe kevod beto. Because he's giving a lot of kavod to his house, he's being involved in the shalom bayit. You know why? Ki lo b'moto yikach hakol. All that stuff that he bought, his china and all his fur coat and the diamond rings, lo yered d'harav kevodo. But the person that gives his ma'aser, that goes with him. That's money he can take. So therefore, you're right. Both become wealthy, but one, it's a temporary wealth. You lo yered d'harav kevodo. The kevod doesn't go with him. But the person that gives his ma'asrot, the tzedakah, the halach, lefanecha, sidkecha, which means the tzedakah precedes a person. Therefore, that method is better. The chapter continues. Ki nafsho behayab yivarech viyoducha kitetiv lach. This pasuk is talking us over here that the wicked, their souls, they bless in their lives. They have no fear of retribution. They have no fear that anything's going to happen. King of Shor, his own soul, Behayav Yibarech, he says, I'm good, nothing's going to happen to me. They're so delusional that they don't even imagine that they're going to be punished. Adrabah, they think their way is right. Zed Darkam Keselamo. This is their road. This is the way that they live. It's b'shita, and therefore ki nafsho b'chayav yibarech, like the pasuk says, shalom alay nafshi ki b'shrinut nibi elech. They say everything's going to be fine, nothing's going to happen. But if we pay attention to the pasuk, ki nafsho bechayav yevarech, he's the only one singing this song. All the people around him know that this person is doomed for destruction, but he himself, yevarech, he himself says, oh, I'm fine, I'm good. However, when it comes to the good people, you want other people to praise you, ve'yoducha, you don't want to sing alone, ki tetiv lach, when you do good, when you improve yourself. One that lives a life of materialism and physical, he's the only one that praises himself. He comes along and says, ki nafsho bechayav yibarech. He says, don't worry, I'm good. But everybody else around him says, oh, you're terrible. A person wants to get the praises of others, v'yoducha. You want to get people that are going to praise you? That's only ki tetiv lach, when you improve yourself. Then already the world will recognize and give you the right accolade. Tavo ador avotav. The righteous, when they pass away, after 120, they come to the generations of their fathers. It's brought out in Holy Sefarim that the people that pass away, they reunite with their ancestors. So long as they're following Ma'ase Avot, they're following the traditions of their ancestors, Tavo ador avotav. They go back to meet their ancestors. And when it comes to the Resha'im, Ad netzach lo yir'u or. For eternity, they see no light. Which means, they live in darkness. The Tzaddikim, the Neshama, goes under the Kisei HaKavod, where there's light. But the Resha'im end up in a place of Gehinnam, where there is no light for them. And the Pasuk, the Tehillim, this chapter comes to a very powerful ending. Adam bikar velo yavin. Nimshal kabehemot nidmu. What does this mean over here? The author of the Tehillim is telling us the great Musar. Human beings are endowed with a neshama. The neshama is yakar. It's precious. It's a chelek elokami ma'al. It's a piece of godliness. Just like God is kol yachol, just like God is unlimited, just like God is eternal, the Jewish soul is eternal as well. It is kol yachol. Human beings have a dynamo of potential. They have capabilities to accomplish the impossible. To the extent the Pasuk writes in Perashat Kedoshim, Kedoshim tihiyu ki kadosh ani. Comes the Midrash, Kedoshim tihiyu yachol kamoni. Talmud lomar ki kadosh ani. Listen to a Midrash. Torah is telling us you have an obligation to become holy. You would have thought maybe our obligation is to become holy like God himself. No, there's only one God, ki kadosh ani, you're not going to be holy as me. But that means the Midrash had a hava amina, that maybe there's a responsibility for us to become as holy as the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So I need the Midrash to tell us, no, that much you can't be. But it means the Midrash understands the great potential that human beings have, that there's a first thought to think, maybe you have to become like God himself. Borei Olam created us in Tzelem Elokim. Tzelem Elokim is the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which he endows with a tremendous amount of kohot, a tremendous amount of ability. But what? A person comes into this world, and if he doesn't know what he has, a person can have $1 million or $100 million, but if he doesn't know that it's in his bank account, so he lives a life of a pauper. He doesn't have food, he doesn't have clothes, and all of a sudden at the end they tell him, I understand you, look at your balance, you have $100 million in the bank. Oh, I didn't know. That's too late. Then the pasuk says, Adam bikar. Adam, bikar, you have a neshama. But you know what the problem of human being is? Velo yavin. He doesn't know it. He doesn't know his gift. He doesn't know what he has. Nimshal. And therefore he lives his life with the comparison. Kebehemot nidmu, as silent animals. Just like an animal doesn't have a neshama. An animal doesn't have a purpose. An animal doesn't have a soul. And that's what the pasuk says. Umotar ha'adam min ha'behema ayin. The difference between Adam and Behema is Ayin. Ayin Rashi Tevot, Adam Yesh Neshama. That's the difference between man and animal. But Adam Bikar Velo Yavin. Nimshal ka Behemot Nidmu. He's compared to an animal. What type of an animal? An animal that's silenced. Nidmu is Milashun Vayidom. A silent animal. When is an animal silent? When it's dead. Because when the animal's alive, the animal is better than the human being. Because an animal is not commanded to do anything. When a human being has a neshama and doesn't utilize it, the animal is better. Because the animal is doing what it was made to do. To eat, to sleep, to serve its master. Like the Navi said, Yadar shor konehu, v'hamor evuz be'alav, Yisrael lo yada, ami lo hitbonam. The Navi says, the shore is better than the human being. The shore knows its creator, the shore knows its master. The hamor is loyal to its master's trough. So therefore, a human being that's not following Torah mitzvot, he's not living the life of an animal. Animal is better than him. Animal's doing what he's supposed to do. So therefore, he's compared to a dead animal, to a silent animal. Because now both of them are functionless. Just like the dead animal cannot serve his function, so to a human being that's not fulfilling Torah mitzvot, nimshal, he's compared to a behemot nidmu, animals that are silenced. But there's a reference over here, again, to Korach. At the closing of the mizmor, the children remind themselves of Korach. Where did it all start, Korach's rebellion? When Korach came home, he came home bald. That's why they call him Korach. Korach Melashon Kireyach. What happened? Why did he become bald? Because he went to the shiur of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, as a Levi, you have to shave all your facial hair, you have to shave all your head, all your body. So he came home, so his wife started to tell him, what happened to your Korach? You look like a cucumber. What happened to you over here? You have no hair. So Korach started to say to himself, you're right. What is Moshe doing to us over here? He's making us like the Levim. He's trying to make us jokes from us. So somebody told him, but what do you mean? But Moshe Rabbeinu is also a Levi. Moshe Rabbeinu also had to do the same process. So he says, yeah, this is like Tamut Nefshi and Pilishtim. Yeah, he's willing to embarrass himself just to embarrass me with him. But little did he know that the reason why the Levim have to shave themselves, because that's considered a certain dignified look, that they should look different because they're the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was the problem of Korach. Adam Bikar. God gave you this look that he wants the Levim to shave themselves because you're in the palace of God. Therefore, you're certain that you have to have a certain unique look to yourselves. Velo Yavin. But Korach didn't understand it. Korach took the Yikar, the glory of God, and instead of what? He used it as against himself. And then when Nimshal ka behemot nidmu, what ended up happening to Korach? He ended up leaving this world like an animal. But last but not least, somebody asked for a proof. How do we know human beings have a neshama? How do we know that we're a piece of God? So one of the strongest proofs is human beings are the only species that walks upright. All animals walk with their head down. What is this proof? So philosophically, you could say that you stand, or your position is based on your essence. And therefore, since an animal's essence is just from the earth, so therefore it's drawn to the earth. Therefore, it always has its head down. Mashenken, a human being, where its essence is from the heaven, so therefore it stands upright like a flame. A flame is spiritual. Therefore, a flame, no matter where you put it, always goes up. And that's a human being. And maybe that's what the interpretation of the Mishnah is. It says, "Istakel b'shlosha devarim, v'i ata ba lidei avera." It says, look at three things, and these three things will remind you not to come to sin. One of the three things is, ul'an ata holech. Ul'an ata holech means, literally, where you're going to end up. When a person is reminded of the end of his journey, Bedin, Yom Adin HaGadol VeHanora, he's reminded of his destiny, so he will make teshuvah. But the pasuk says, "Istakel b'shloshah devarim." Mishnah says, "Ve'yata le'de avera le'an ata olech." The way you walk, le'an, and how you walk. You should look at the way you walk. You stand up. That should remind you. Look, my head is up. That must mean that I have a neshama. And that's what the pasuk is saying over here. Adam bikar, a person is precious. He has a neshama. Ve'lo yavin. He doesn't understand. Nimshal. He thinks, he compares himself to behemoth. But he doesn't realize that he's not a behemoth, because the behemoth, they walk with their head down, they walk on all fours, their head faces the earth. You're not compared to a behemoth. Your structure, the way you carry yourself, that's the biggest indication that you're different than all other species. It is the neshama that carries us towards... We're magnetized towards the Shamayim, as opposed to the animal that's magnetized towards its source, which is the earth. Adam bikar velo yavin. He doesn't understand from his posture. Nimshal kebehemot. He compares himself to an animal. What he doesn't know is that the animal walks down and he walks up. Le'an ata holech. Look where you're walking. This is a very powerful ending, where we talk about the potential of every human being and what we're capable. One of the great rabbis once said that a student came to him and said he wishes, or what would he do if he had a chance to become Avraham Avinu? That's a great opportunity. So, Avraham Avinu, fantastic. Give me a chance to be Avraham Avinu. I'd love it. So the rabbi said, that wouldn't impress me so much. Because if I were to be Avraham Avinu, who would to be me? What the rabbi was really saying is, God needs Avraham Avinu, and God needs you. And everybody was created at a certain point in history, with a certain mission, and a certain purpose that only they can accomplish. Because if God didn't need us, He wouldn't create us. And if He created us, that means He needs us specifically at this time in history. And therefore, if we're created at the stage of history at this moment, that means there's a reason for it. And therefore, we have to rise to the occasion. We don't need another Avraham Avinu. We need to be ourselves and to become great. And then, Be'ezat Hashem, when we can recognize Adam Bikar, you're precious, you're special. The problem is, we're brought up into a world where they don't teach us that we're great, that we're endowed with a spirit of Tzelem Elokim. The society teaches us you're garbage. The society teaches us you're an animal. That's why if you look at the way the people are dressed, they dress them like animals. They put all sorts of jewelry on their body, all sorts of hairdos, all sorts of tattoos, and all sorts of destruction of the physical body. And what does the society teach them? To go and take drugs, and to go after your pleasure like an animal, and go drink yourself drunk, and gamble yourself poor, and involve yourself in all the lusts of this world. So what's society telling you? You're garbage. You're a nothing. Therefore, there's no difference between you and an animal. Therefore, go, undress yourself. Don't wear clothes like animals as well. But the Torah comes and says, no, it's not so. Adam Bikar, you're precious. You're walking with the peace of God in you. You're great. You have tremendous kohot, you have tremendous abilities. And therefore you have to develop them, and you have to cultivate them, and you have to use them. And then you could reach the highest madriga, you could reach a level, ma hu af ata. That just like God is, so you are the same way, and you could reach a level of ki kadosh, almost, not as kadosh as God, but one notch below that. Because nobody be kadosh as God, but we thought you might be able to. That's how great we are. However, ve'lo yabin, the society says, nimshal ka behemot, you're just another animal. Even the science, human being is just a sophisticated animal. But it's from the animal species. You came from monkeys, your grandfather was a gorilla, and your great-grandfather was an orangutan. So therefore you just have a little more, you're a little more sophisticated than them. But basically it's the same thing. You have that midot. And we come along and say, Matay yagiyu ma'asai l'ma'asai avotai Avraham Yitzhak v'Yaakov. You descend from angels. You descend from the greatest pillars, Bene Elim, those great, great men, the pillars of the earth, Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, and we're their direct descendants. And therefore we have their goodness, and all the goodness of Abraham is in the descendants, as well as Isaac and Yaakov. And therefore the responsibility is on us. Not to squander it, not to waste it, but B'ezras Hashem to take advantage. What a musar to give at any time of the year. But specifically now, we're starting the new week, the Shavua Tov, so we become invigorated. That now we start a new week, B'ezrat Hashem, at the auspicious time of Seudat Menavim Malkah. We're going to now eat the Zecher Nishmat David HaMelech Alav HaShalom. And right after learning some of his Tehillim, the Zechut of David should be Magen Ba'adenu, and the Zechut that we learned his Torah tonight. And B'ezrat Hashem, we should be inspired. Adam Bikar, you're great! And understand it, and then Be'azat Hashem will be able to reach our potential and fulfill our quest of greatness and reach our destination. Shalom. Amen.